Some of y'all looking at me strange, but all I'm trying to tell y'all tonight is this, that I've learned
how to depend on Jesus. How to trust in Him.
So glad I've learned
how to depend on Jesus.
Let me ask y'all something. Anybody here learn how to put all your trust in Him? Can I take a little time and tell you how I learned to do it? I picked up my Bible and I went to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, round about the 5th and the 6th verse, where it told me to trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways I had to learn to acknowledge Jesus Christ. And I wonder, can I get a witness in this building when I say, won't God step in and direct your path tonight? Can I get a witness in this building? Anybody here learn how to depend on Jesus? Somebody here depending on Him. Somebody here learn how to put all your trust in it tonight.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because He.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank You afresh this day, for this is the day that You have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to Your word, let the Holy Ghost do in the text as only He is able to do. Let Him bring forth illumination so that we might understand and then practice these principles for profit, giving You always the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. God bless you this morning. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. And I want to commence reading at verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. And it simply says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there to you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want us to realize today, my brothers and sisters, from the word of God, that it really is God's will to answer your prayer. It is God's desire to meet you in your place of petition. And when we let Scripture speak and we throw out all of the stuff that we've been taught that is in error to the Word, and then we begin to operate in the Word, we'll see that the Word will operate in us. And all that God has said and all that God is showing us will we be able to operate in our daily lives and reap the benefits and the blessings. How many times we wonder if it's the Lord's will that we be healed, or if it's the Lord's will that we prosper, is it the Lord's will that this door be opened or that door, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we don't have to wonder if we read and understand, because some folk read, but they don't understand what they're reading. And so I just want to begin in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount and see over the course of these three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, with particular emphasis on this message in the middle of those chapters, how Jesus deals with this issue of petition. And there are some things about it, and I'll share some other scriptures as well that will support the fact that it is God's will to answer our prayers, to heal us, to deliver us, to bless us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, once you deal with that issue and know it is God's will, then your prayers will be geared more towards success, leaving the doubt out, leaving the wavering out. And wavering is when you believe one moment and doubt the next moment. Wavering is when you believe he's going to do it and then you doubt that he will do it. Wavering is when you think, okay, God said it and I believe it, but it really isn't settled. Because somebody comes and tell you, well, I asked the Lord, I've been asking the Lord for 20 years and he ain't never did it. And you think they're bigger Christian, better Christian than you, and if they ain't did it, he ain't did it for them, well, what makes you think he's going to? See, wavering brings all of these things that is not quantified by the word of God. So I want us to look at this again, and I want to share some things with you, because it says, ask. Now, ask means to make a request, make a petition, that you would bring forth your desires with a verbal or an audible sound. In other words, you can ask in your heart, but if it never leaves your lips, God is not obligated because you have not asked. And so a lot of times we can pray, and we can pray without actually moving our lips or without actually speaking words, but that's in our hearts. But there, in order for it to become full and to have validity and credence to it as a request, words and sounds must leave our mouths, because everything that God spoke according to the diagram in Genesis 1, he released it from his mouth, which then meant the Holy Ghost took those words and began to construct those words, and then they were so. And the same pattern is that of the believer to follow the Father. So if he showed us how to speak things into existence, if he showed us how to make a request or to speak things as we may feel in our hearts or in our minds so that they may become a reality, the words must leave our lips. The Holy Ghost is not under warrant to take what we think and we feel. In other words, we don't really become serious till we say it. How many times have you thought some stuff you ain't never ever said yet? Amen. But you thought it, and sometimes you believed it. But until it is released from your mouth, then God, the Holy Ghost, is not under warrant to operate in that same vein that you expect him to. So he starts off by saying, ask. But right after he says, ask, look at what follows. And it shall be given you. Now, how would this transform your life, honestly, today? If everything you ask God, he gave it to you. Amen. How would that really transform your life if you knew that what I'm getting ready to ask God for, he's going to do it? Amen. Now, why you don't ask him? Because you don't believe he's going to do it. And if you don't believe he's going to do it, you don't even waste your breath. Now, some waste their breath because they're used to gambling. It's a prayer of chance. I'm going to ask him, maybe he'll do it. And if he don't, what, I ain't lose nothing. At least, you know, at least I ask. Well, see, God don't honor those kind of requests, those kind of petitions. God wants you to know when you go to him, you're going to him, listen at this, just to fulfill the process that he asked you to go through because you already believed before you spoke it that he was going to do it. And speaking it, releasing it, simply meant that it was a confirmation that what you petitioned God was now going to be done. In other words, you processed it all underneath the skin. You walked through it. You worked through your doubts. You worked through your questions. You worked through your whys. You worked through all of that. And then when you made up in your mind, it is the word of God. It is the will of God. It is what I want. Now I'm releasing it. I'm not releasing it to see if it's going to happen. I'm releasing it to confirm it's happened. And so when you pray with that kind of power and with that kind of confidence, then you are simply saying to God, I'm simply doing what you told me to do because I know you've already done in the spirit realm what I've requested you to do. And when you know it's already done, then you realize it's a process. It is a process. And God wants the believers to operate in principles, because when you operate in principles, all you're simply doing is following a process. You do your part, God's going to do his part. In the end, you're going to have what you say. So it says, ask and it shall be given. Notice there is no uncertainty on God's part. No uncertainty on God's part, and it shall be given. Not, and I'll think about it. Not, and we'll see. Not, and I'll see if this will work, if you do this, that. No, God is certain about his part. And you've got to be certain about part. The uncertainty comes in your part. Look at what he goes on to say after this. He simply says, seek and ye shall find. Seek and ye shall find. Let me move on to the next one. Knock and what shall happen? All right, knock. And it shall be opened unto you. Now, we're the ones who talk about knocking on the door. You can knock on more things than the door. See how we limit God? And most of us, when we think about knock, what do you think about knocking on? A door. And we limit our God to what we frame in our minds, doors being opened for you. Well, I got news for you. Anything that's in your way, you can knock and get it open for you. And I got news for you. More than doors are blocked and closed in your face. But if you knock, if you put forth the effort to make clear that you want entrance, then you need to know more than doors will be opened up for you. But let me share with you what all three of these things have in common. Persistency to the end result. Persistency to the end result. Now here's what you need to know. That you can either ask one time or ask continuously. It doesn't really matter. I've read and I've gone through the Word of God. Now here's what you'll note, that depending on where your faith level is, God is going to meet you there. For some, you might have to continuously ask him. Okay? I mean, just like the widow did, kept going back to the judge because she wanted him to avenge her of her enemies. Luke chapter 18. He didn't regard man. He didn't respect. Respect God, and yet he did this for the woman because she kept on asking him, amen. Kept on bothering. Jesus said, "You can do the same thing. If that's where your faith level is, if you don't believe it's going to happen, unless you keep on asking him, then God will do it." But it's persistency. Here's what you need to realize: even if you asked him once, and you were persistent in looking for that you asked him for, God still will honor your prayer. The whole point is, you can't ask and give up. You've got to ask, whether it be once or continually, until it comes to pass. In other words, if you ask one time and God knows your heart and God knows your thought and God knows that you are walking in the way of the petition of your prayer, he knows whether or not you're still concerned about that being answered. He knows whether or not you've given up on that and it's not going to happen. So God knows everything connected with you, and you are the one who will bring to pass that God has said according to your own faith and your own operation. When you are seeking something, here's what you need to know. The Bible says, ye shall find it. But the only way you're going to find it is if you keep doing what? You keep looking for it. You look. There are some things you started looking for you hadn't found yet because you stopped looking. But if you continue to look, sooner or later, you're going to find it. 15th chapter of Luke talks about a woman who lost a coin, had 10, one got away from her. She kept looking, she kept looking, she kept sweeping, she kept looking, she kept pursuing that coin. And listen to this, she didn't give up, and in the end, she found that coin. Here's what she knew, the coin was lost, but here's what else she knew, it was in the house. And it was just a matter of time before she found what she had lost where she lost it. And see, most times, if we would just backtrack, tell somebody backtrack. See, you know where you've been, and you know what you've done. You know what you had on, and you know what you took off. You know where you placed it. And if you just backtrack and look in the places where you were and what you did and just think about it, you will continue until you find what it is you're looking for. And so when we begin to know that there is an end in itself to our continual seeking, that we shall find. The encouragement is, even if I get tired and rest, when I catch my breath, keep on looking. And here is again the point that I want you to know of all three of these is this, that you do not stop doing your part until it is done. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Knock. The Bible talks about a man having a friend who had come to visit him in the midnight hours, and he didn't have no bread to put before him, and he went to his neighbor, knocked on the door. Man didn't want to open the door. He kept on knocking. Man got tired and told him, look, man, come back tomorrow. Kept on knocking. He said, look, I'm in the bed. My children in the bed. We're tired. I'm not getting. And he kept on knocking. The Bible says that man got out of bed, gave him all the bread he could handle, because he got tired of him. See, when God knows what you really want, you keep on. And see, you can't get tired if you really want it. Because you are not fulfilled. You are not complete. You are not all you ought to be without what it is you're seeking and knocking for. So it's like, why would you stop knocking when it's behind that place that you're knocking on? I'd go to another door, but what I want is behind door number one. Y'all will catch you when you wake up. Huh? And you got to know when you know that you know. I've told this story 1,000 times. I'll tell it 1,001. Preacher had brought his son to Macy's store, and they were going up and down the aisles. And every aisle he'd go behind, little Fred would say, Daddy, Daddy, I want this. He'd look back and say, come on, little Fred. And they'd go down another aisle. Little Fred would say, Daddy, Daddy, I want this. He'd look back again and said, come on, little Fred. And they went down 3 or 4 more aisles. And every aisle, little Fred wanted this or that. The man had become numb to Fred's asking. And then finally they went down one aisle, and Fred put the baseball glove on one hand, put the ball in the glove, took a hat, put it on his head, and grabbed the bat, put it on his shoulder, and said, Daddy, look, 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 I want this. Dad looked back at little Fred and said, come on, little Fred. And he went on down the next aisle. Little Fred didn't say nothing. He looked down another aisle. Little Fred didn't say nothing. Matter of fact, little Fred wasn't behind him. And he remembered the last place he saw little Fred. And he walked back down 2 hours, and that was little Fred with the baseball glove on his hand and the ball in the glove, bat on his shoulder and cap on his head, and tears running down his cheeks. And his daddy looked at him and said, now he wants that. And see, I'm trying to tell somebody, when you really want what you really want, you don't keep running and moving. You stay right there and say, Lord, I'm not moving till you bless me. This is what I want, and I'm staying right here. And it shall be opened unto you. See, the Lord knows when you're just big-eyed. You just want it because you can have it. You just want it because he'll get it. And that reaches a point in time when God says, no. Now, when you really want it, you're going to do what it takes to get it. And so when you begin to recognize that, look, let me just share some other word from the word of God with you. Matthew 17 and 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Listen at this. Matthew 21, 21 and 22 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Luke 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So the question becomes, in your prayer life, do you really believe what you're praying? Do you really believe what you're saying? Do you believe to come to pass what you're releasing from your mouth? You see, because as children of the Most High God, operating in his vein, operating in that he has given you authority to operate in, there ought not be no questions about the operating power of God in your life through his word, listen, and your faith. Everything that has to do with spiritual and natural must be mixed in order to be successful. In other words, this word, the Bible that we have, every word is true, every word is pure, every word is righteous, every word is God's. But it is not under warrant to operate in a faithless life. Amen. In other words, there are just some things that don't come alive until they're mixed. Ever made Kool-Aid? Instant mashed potatoes, cocoa, any of that stuff. All that stuff is dried in a powder form. Many times it even looks different in dry powdered form than it does when liquids are mixed with it. Some of them change colors completely because the liquid, the water, the juice, the whatever it is you're mixing with it, has the properties within its confines to bring out all that's in the mixed powder. The word of God, everything in it that's meant to be in it is in it. But all that is in it has not come out of it because we have to mix our faith to cause it to come alive. And that's why two people can be sitting next to each other reading the same Bible, the same verse. One believe, one do not believe. Both speak, only one will get what he believes, because faith is operated in the believer, which activates the word of God. That's why folk can be sitting in the same worship service, hearing the same message. One shouts and the other doubts. And the one gets what they're shouting about, and the other is wondering why they're shouting and don't even realize they'll never get what they've got because they won't mix their faith with the word. And so when you begin to understand simple principles like these, stop trying. You know what our problem is? Our intellect refuses to allow us to believe that God will do it for us. And then we think that in order for it to be done, we must do it. See, what I need you to do is disconnect yourself from your intellect sometime. Because when you can't figure it out, I got news for you. It ain't for you to figure out. God didn't ask you to figure it out. He told you to believe. I've shared it before. You've heard it before. Many of you who came in, let me just ask this question. I want you to be honest. When you came here today, did you put your knee on the seat? Did you press down on it? Did you see before you sat that it would hold you? No, you just went down. never thought about it. But when it comes to the Word of God, you got to figure it out. You got to reason. You got to think. You got to think back to all them times he didn't answer the prayers in the past. You got to think about all the times you asked and you didn't get it before. And the devil brings all of that up in the mixing of your understanding. So then you begin to doubt God because you know you can't do it. And thus you put that restraint on God.
Amen. Amen.
Do you know why God does great and unusual things? For people who believe, because their faith trusts God. God, if you don't do it, it can't be done. I'm not going to waste my time trying to rack my mind, trying to figure out how that. I'm just going to believe you, God. And here's what you got to go, got to know before you go another step further. If he don't do it and you can't do it, it ain't going to be done no how. So my question is, what do you have to lose by trusting and believing God? Stepping out on faith. Listen, God wants you where your ability to reason and figure out runs out to start walking by faith at that point, saying, God, now I've absorbed, I have used and utilized my every resource. I'm just believing you. I'm trusting you. I know you're going to fix it. I know that you're going. Listen to this. God doesn't even get involved in your situation until your faith activates him. Amen. See, right where your road ends, that's where God supports your every step. And what you've got to know is you ain't got to walk like you're scared. You don't walk like that on cement and concrete and on surface that you know. You walk the way that you want to walk. When you walk by faith, you ought to walk that way. You're going this way and decide to make a quick left. Go on, make it. He got your step. You know, but we get there. And you try to figure out where is he going to put the next support system for my step. Just step. See, that's too much like faith. Y'all don't want to hear that. See, there are some things that are happening in your life, coming up in your life, and you don't have a seen support system, but that's what faith is. You don't see it, but you know it's there. God has promised you, and he is faithful. Matter of fact, he's waiting on you to make the step. He's already got the support. You won't have it because you ain't asked for it. You won't seek it, so you won't find it. You ain't knocked, so he ain't opening up nothing. And so when you begin to operate in that kind of faith, yes, it is God's will. Tell somebody it is God's will to answer my prayer. It is God's will to answer my prayer. It is his good pleasure. He delights in answering my prayer. Matter of fact, he's waiting on my next request. Even though I'm waiting on my next paycheck. Telephone disconnect. Yeah, you know all that light bill, do baby need new passion? He know all of that. He's asking me, what am I going to do about it? Yeah. Well, I'm going to call my father up and tell him what I have need of. Matthew 6 said he already knows what I have need of. He's just waiting on me to, oh, help me somebody. Well, I want to ask the Lord. Well, then that's your problem. Why don't you want to ask the Lord? You can't exhaust his resources. The Bible says that he wants us to have fellowship with him to give us our daily bread. Daily bread means bread every day. Daily bread means my needs, the things I have need of, the things that I have use of, the things that he knows I need to function and flow the way I ought to. He's just waiting on me to put in a fresh request. If it took 1,000 things yesterday, he ain't had no problem with yesterday. If it take 2,000 a day, he's just waiting on my request. And see, that's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. I want you to see something else in the Word of God, because when you begin to see this and know this, look, if you will, and see 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you know God has already said no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly?